the signs and wonders? Can't you hear the distant thunder? Can't you feel the whole earth rumble? That's the dance of the rhythm about the coming of the Lord. Dance the dance of the rhythm of creation. Dance the rhythm of God. Dance of the rhythm of revelation. Dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Can't you see the fig tree blooming? Can't you hear the storm clouds moving? Can't you feel the mountains moving? That's the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Dance of the rhythm of creation. Dance of the rhythm of God. Dance of the rhythm of revelation. Dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Think about you, all things past. Welcome to Jerusalem. And wonders. Can't you hear the distant thunder? Can't you feel the whole earth rumble? Can't you see the big tree blooming? Can't you hear the storm rumbling? Can't you feel the mountains moving? That's the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Dance of the rhythm of the ancient.
Hi, gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. This is the first of a series of the topics concerning the gay issue in the Bible. There's 14 verses that you or many people have used to condemn gays. And this started some 700 years ago. I know a lot of you would say that the Bible is much older than that. But again, look at me. I'm saying this started 700 years ago with a few powerful Catholic leaders that wanted to purge people in high positions that doesn't have the same ideals as they. So they created, invented, if you will, a doctrine. And it's an anti-gay doctrine. They went into the Bible and they found verses that somehow looked like male-to-male sex, and they incorporated these, then put a story to them, a way of teaching them to present gays as sin. And this way they can create scandal and point fingers at some leader, and they will get him impeached. Now, they basically got 12 of the 14 verses together back in those days. And about 100 years after they've been teaching this and making sure the regular Catholic person begins to believe that gay is sin based on this new doctrine that Catholic Church invented, 100 years later, the Protestants adopted this, and then they came to America. The Puritans of the strictest order, basically, hated generally by most Christians, and they came to America for this religious freedom that they sought without persecution from other Christians. We are not told very much when we're listening to our pastor preach or other means that mostly Christians hated these Christians, and that's why they came to America, so they could have freedom to preach or believe in what they believe. And they brought with them a most heinous version of this anti-gay doctrine. Now, it took to 1850 before a clergy convention got together in the USA to produce a version of 1 Corinthians 6:9, because it was taught up to then as something entirely different as what it is taught today. They were teaching it that masturbators will not inherit the kingdom of God. As blunt as that sounds, that is exactly what this verse was believed to be, basically generally in the United States. At this annual convention, the clergy decided that everybody's doing this, so heaven would be empty. And so they decided together to find another group. Well, already 12 verses were against gays. So basically, Christians believed gay was sin. And so they said, why not put gays in here? And so they did. And from that time forward, they taught gays won't inherit the kingdom of God. Kind of interesting. Now you could just manipulate the word of God however you want. This particular verse also has been taught in various ways and not really anything to do with gays, at least ordinary gays. Now, in 1850, it was a step further as modern versions began to come out, 1946, they actually took the two Greek words for sodomite and catamite out of the Bible and inserted the word homosexual. So with the beginnings of the modern translations, you have the word homosexual now in the Bible as they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. So we have all of this kind of stuff going on. So we have lots of information that you can look at to find out if these 14 verses actually condemn gay people. Now, the first verse in the Bible that is used to condemn gays is the story about God created Adam and Eve, and the mockingness that people that think gay is sin say is he didn't create Adam and Steve. Well, there's a lot to the garden and things that happen. One of the significant things, and it's repeated in the New Testament, is the reason to leave mother and father, the only reason that God gives, is to get married. Well, who knows what they did all through the past? Well, we know that generally mother and father joined up with another mother and father, and they decided almost at your birth who you're going to marry and what benefits they can have. This is generally the way marriage was. Marriage is a thing of evolution. You know, it evolved from Adam and Eve to today, and it's still in an evolving state. And generally, a lot of it has nothing to do with sin or not. It's just generally the evolution of marriage, and the Bible is not very distinctive on what the rules should be, basically, in it. You are the one that is deciding what the rules are, right or wrong, for whatever your motives are, evil or good. And so, there's lots of things. You're supposed to, what you do in reality is actually go out to the world for a career, for fun and pleasures, for everything except marriage. And if you do anything related to marriage, it's just to enjoy the dating process and the benefits you get for dating. Then later on, you will settle down. There's lots of people out there that are preaching about how you shouldn't have sex and all this until you're married. And maybe these few people out here, not too many, actually never did have sex before marriage, and usually their testimony shows they got married to the first person they ever knew. And so they never had any opportunities like the rest of us, who didn't get married to the first person that we met. You dated, and then that didn't work out, and you dated some more, and so forth. But anyway, the garden has a lot of information. And when God created Adam, and then he made Eve out of Adam, there's a word there. Generally, we just read it as rib. God took a rib out of Adam. Well, this rib, as a matter of fact, in Hebrew, there's a couple of words for rib in the Bible. And one of the words is something that could be used for an ordinary rib. It could be wood, a rib in a boat or something, or it could be a bone in the body. So in the sentence that it was used in, if it was used in Adam made Eve out of the rib, God made Eve out of the rib of Adam, you would be able to say it's a real rib. But that's not the rib that the Hebrew used. The Hebrew word for rib turns out to be cell, if we use the best English today. And a cell is something that has the DNA and genes and chromosomes. In other words, Steve was in the DNA after all. Now, I only got 10 minutes here to speak on this, but you know, there's a lot to happen, and you can't just simply say God created Adam and Eve, therefore gay is sin. But I'd like to ask those of you who don't know Jesus, turn to him right now and say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God and that God created you on the third day. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. A simple prayer gets you saved. Now read the King James Version, not any other modern translations. If you want to read a modern translation, go search and look up Westcott and Hort, and you'll be able to read modern translations with your with some information behind you. See you now. Hi again. Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. This is the second part of a 14-part series on all 14 verses that many people use to say gay is sin. Now, going on in Genesis, we come up to the verse that people like to use to say that God destroyed two cities because the cities were gay, full of homosexuals, they say. And so that's why God punished it by destroying the cities. And it is interesting that the actual story, when you actually read the Bible and the verses, it tells a little bit different story. Because it starts out by describing who are the people that are the story's talking about. And it details in a verse, verse 4 in chapter 19 of Genesis, and says that all of the boys, all of the grandpas, and all of the adult males. And then it goes on further in that same sentence to say all the people. Now it's kind of interesting, don't you think, that this is saying that the numbers of people that are gathering together is everybody. Men, women, and children. It doesn't matter the age. It says young and old. Do you understand this? Sometimes I wonder. However, lots of you do say that you just won't use this one, and you go on to the other verses to try to say gay is sin. Some of you can actually quickly get rid of this verse as to try to say gay is sin, because you can see that it is not talking about one man and one other man that has fallen in love and basically married. Doesn't matter if you don't like that word married. The thing is, it's where two people are joined together. Now, as a straight person, you've grown up, you got to a certain age, and you found that you like the opposite sex, and you did just about everything that you can possibly to remain decent. Some of you didn't remain so decent, but you did just about everything you can so you can start dating and basically get in bed with the opposite sex. And you throw in all these other terminologies like love, dating, romance, and marriage. They conveniently make it so that you can enjoy the sex part. There's nothing wrong with that. We're kind of designed to fall in love. And love is really pretty fantastic. But you know what love is for heterosexuals. So why is it so difficult to figure out what love is for gay people? It doesn't matter what you don't believe or whatever, or what you say, it doesn't matter if they love each other or something. What matters is the facts. There are 630 million gay people in the world, so you ought to be able to find plenty that are doing what you do. Meet somebody, date them, fall in love, and get married. Because you're not different than gays, and gays aren't different than you. We're all the same people wanting the same things. And so, the true gays are people that are doing just like this. Boy meets boy, they date, they fall in love, they get married. It's not all the males in a city go start looking for other males, or two males in the case of Genesis, where the two male angels were at Lot's house. Gay people don't do that. They don't go out and try to find. And the story goes on. Lot says, don't do so wickedly. And you see, English is something that evolves. If you want to believe in evolution, this is where you believe in it, because language evolves. Now, because language evolves, doesn't mean that you can use the present-day definitions of language to understand ancient texts. When you're using the Bible, you can't just go to Webster Dictionary and read what it is. You can't go to the popular slang. You can't go to the trend of words to evolve into another form or add meanings to it. You have to go back to the day of Jesus or the day of Moses and get out a dictionary of those days and begin to see what the meaning of the words were and what the people thought of them. Jesus wasn't sitting there talking to all these people of his day, and Moses wasn't talking to all of his people of his day, and God was coding into his language a future reference so future generations can understand a whole different process of the meaning of the word. No, this didn't happen. The Bible is so studyable because we can go back to that ancient language and we can find out what the words really mean. And so, when you're reading different places in the Bible, especially ones that are controversial or complex or involves lots of people, you need to figure out what the words really mean, not just guess. So Lot was saying this word wickedly. When you look at the original language, it is telling you that this is a word that means to utterly break into pieces, to harm. That means all of these people in the two cities that came to Lot's house wanted to hurt. The description of the types of harm would literally probably kill a person. We have other examples in the Bible that just such acts did kill the people. Today we use this word rape. And when there's a bunch of people involved, we call it gang rape. So when people are coming to gang rape to death somebody, we already kind of know that this is sin. It doesn't really matter too much about who's involved in it. It's sin. But you can't go and say 630 million gays are these people of Sodom, because they didn't behave this way. And it's very rare to find gay people gathering together in any kind of gang, going out and raping anything. This kind of activity is really a very common trait of heterosexuals. So please, when you are looking for gay people in the Bible, keep in mind who gay people are. Boy meets boy, or girl meets girl. They date, they fall in love, and they get married, just like you. And along the way to getting married, they may date around, just like you. You may have more than one sexual partner, just like you. You may date one for a while, don't like it, date another for a while, just like you. You may go to prostitutes. and so forth and so on. None of this seems to bother you about heterosexuals. You just say, well, no, this doesn't condemn heterosexuality. Then why should it condemn homosexuality? Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed because people were very evil towards other people. Later on in the Bible, it says that it was destroyed for inhospitality. Now, later in this very same context, when, and by the way, Lot's daughters were engaged to get married. You can find other books that says that Lot had another daughter that died. Well, and so as they left the city, they got in a cave and his two daughters raped Lot and got babies from him. So there's a lot to the Bible. If you want to condemn gays, you must read it and understand it. I'm kind of out of time now. If you don't know Jesus, turn to him. Say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. A simple prayer gets you saved. Now read the King James Bible. Now I'd like to talk about what it is to be Pentecostal. Pentecostal is kind of an exciting thing for Christians. It does a lot more than if you just accept Jesus in a sinner's prayer and saying something like, you know, Jesus, I believe you're Son of God and that God rose you on the third day, forgive me my sins and come into my life. A simple prayer like that, you know, kind of get you saved. But there's more. Jesus will baptize you in the Holy Spirit if you ask. And there's many ways to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and sometimes it takes a long time, and sometimes you're not even hardly thinking about it, and you get it. It's kind of exciting. It's not necessarily a system that you can do or plan or whatever, but there are many ways. And a common way is when you're at church that believes in being baptized in the Holy Spirit, they often will invite you up and lay hands on you and ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And you could get it this way. You could be in a private place in your prayer closet, just anywhere alone, and just ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Now, you have to kind of really want it and really seek it and not give up if it doesn't happen right away, because it's just this way. To try to explain the various kinds of reason, it doesn't do that good, because the facts, again, what my TV program is all about is, hey, we got 2,000 years of Christianity. Why make a doctrine on something that, I mean, we always love to make rules and list ways of doing things, but guess what? God doesn't necessarily care about your rules. Just people that want to seek Him. You love Jesus. You can ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Now, this baptism of the Holy Spirit isn't like being baptized in water, where somebody dunks you in water, sprinkles you, whatever. I prefer the dunking. If you're going to be baptized, you're going to have to get buried and then get resurrected type of thing and raised from the dead. And that's what immersion type stuff is. You find some water, get plunged into it and lift it out, and that way get baptized. But there, and when you get saved, there are people that want to say that you get filled with the Spirit at that time, and to a degree there are some parts of this that is true. But baptism in the Holy Spirit is very, very different. In Acts chapter 2, it details how it started. And when you get it, though it's not necessarily specific in the Bible, the initial evidence is speaking in other tongues. Throughout Acts, in any place in the New Testament that it talks about people received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there was always the result of speaking in a language they didn't learn. Now, this language that you do not learn doesn't mean you will understand it. And there's something very interesting about this. It is not magic. It is not something that you wait to be zapped for. It is something that is 100% completely your will. you could just begin to speak in tongues, just like I'm talking to you right now. And instead of deciding what words to use, you just let the words come out. And you will find that you will be speaking in a different language. Now, sometimes it could be very dramatic. You can get slain in the spirit. In other words, pretty well zapped, and down on the ground you go, and you can't do anything but speak in tongues. But a lot of the time it is simply you're seeking God earnestly, asking Jesus to baptize your Holy Spirit. Once you receive this baptizing, anybody can, doesn't matter how old you are, young or old, you can get baptized. No matter what denomination you're in, doesn't matter what your denomination believes, you can get baptized in the Holy Spirit. So you just simply will discover as you go along that other things are involved here, because baptizing the Holy Spirit makes you feel much more personal with Jesus. It feels like Jesus is inside you, and you'll find that that is so much closer than you have ever imagined possible. And many more things, many of the miracles and gifts of the spirits that you read about will become part of your life. Prayers will get answered more in detail than you ever imagined. And there's so much more. So people ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. See you next week or next time.
The signs and wonders, can't you hear the distant thunder, can't you feel the whole earth rumble, that's the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Dance the dance of the rhythm of creation, dance the dance of the rhythm of God, dance the dance of the rhythm of revelation, dance the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Can't you see the fig tree blooming? Can't you hear the storm tide booming? Can't you feel the mountains moving? That's the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Dance the dance of the rhythm of creation. Dance the dance of the rhythm of God. Dance the dance of the rhythm of revelation. Dance the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Say goodbye to all things past. Welcome to Jerusalem. Let the kings of trust and fight. God is coming soon. The signs and wonders, can't you hear the distant thunder, can't you feel the whole earth rumble, can't you see the fig tree blooming, can't